greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Kevin and Andrew, and it's the Jayhawk Talk Podcast coming to you in 2018. Andrew is back from the Shire. Is that where you were? In the Shire?
Oh, I went to New Zealand. That is where the Shire is located. Yeah. We just spent like 3 hours there. That's the only Lord of the Rings stuff we did.
You were there the whole effing time.
No, the whole time. Just a little bit. We got a little Hobbit
How's
action.
Bilbo?
We've got some Frodo's there now. Actually, none of them are there.
That's disappointing for you.
Yeah.
Especially since you spent your whole time there.
It's a Hobbit ghost town, which is sad.
It is sad.
So sad.
Oh, all right. Well, good. Well, welcome back to the States.
Thank you, Kevin. It is good to be back here in Kansas. While it was a lovely trip away, I'm glad to be back and glad to be watching the Jayhawks again. So let me walk you through. I was on a bus with Wi-Fi watching or trying to see what's going on with the Texas game. So I appreciate all of the KU Twitter. Some people are down on KU Twitter right now, but just having to watch a game just through Twitter, I thought it was pretty good. I haven't done that in a while. Huh. You know, just like with my head in the phone or head in the computer. So I would say that, you know, people are down on KU Twitter. Not so much. It's got its high moments, and you're part of that. So thank you for the Jayhawk Talk Twitter account.
How did that go? Like, would people actually update the score and that would kind of catch on? Or did you just see me say something like...
You would say like, no, or doke you very much. And I'd be like, okay, so Udoka got a dunk there.
Okay, all right.
I think Doke had a pretty good game because there was mostly like, Doke, you know. And then KUSports.com or Jesse Newell would put the score occasionally. So I'd be able to catch up there. So there were certain accounts that catch you up on the scores.
Okay, good. All right.
So I think I just missed the Texas Tech game, and I watched that at the Denver airport coming back, and that was not fun.
No, that one was not fun. Let's get into the week that was. Andrew, I cheated on you and recorded a podcast with a friend of the podcast and voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney.
I saw that. I have not listened to it.
Yeah, it's probably good. We talk all the shit on you. All of it.
Okay.
All of it.
Well, to be expected.
All of it. It's all talked, so you don't even have to worry about it. No, but it was good to have Brian on. He covered in for you, you know, actually really well. Might be thinking about a change around here. But, of course, he is a professional, so, you know, we're not.
He doesn't have time to do free podcasts where it costs you money to do the podcast. Brian Haney does not work for Johnny's gift cards that we got one time 4 years ago.
I actually get tweets all the time. I don't know if you know this. I don't tell you where people are like, hey, how much do you get for that podcast? Like, I've been thinking about starting a podcast. Like, I get zero. I'll get all the $0.
Like, negative $0.
Like, there are some podcasts.
We got Johnny's. We got $50 from Johnny's once. One time. 4 years ago.
Yeah. Like, and it's not because we probably couldn't. Like, we probably, if we wanted to and we worked hard to do it, we could probably get, I don't know, $12, $15, or I don't know. Somebody would give us something, but we're just not going to.
Well, all I'm saying is that I think you're stuck with me because I'm the right price.
That's a good point. Good point. All right. So anyway, the point is that let's talk about the week that was. I know you watched some of these not in the States or not. I guess you did watch the Tech game back here. So let's talk about that one for a second, right? It was an interesting game. I think that... Andrew, I don't know how to really describe it other than we were never quite ready to play that game.
No, it didn't seem like it. I mean, we trailed the whole game. We never had a lead.
Yeah, it was just a very weird game. And obviously, we've talked about Texas Tech. They are as probably, I don't know how to say it other than maybe that they are as experienced as any team in the league. Like top to bottom, they've got guys that clearly, I mean, they got killers. They got guys that are just steady too. I mean, that's nice. I mean, they kind of honestly look like a veteran Bill Self like team, you know, like they don't get shaken. They get in there. They played hard. They played tough. They clearly wanted it way more than we did. I think Chris Beard has these boys playing. And all of a sudden, Andrew, Texas Tech comes in and scores 85 points on the Jayhawks and beats us by freaking double digits.
Well, and a couple guys like Zach Smith didn't even really play that much. And a couple other guys, I mean, they were playing four guards like we were. So it's like not like we have excuses for, you know, oh, we've got, you know, Vic playing the four or Svi has to guard the four or, you know, they were playing like we do. We have no excuses for that game. We're playing at home, and maybe it just shows where we need to be to win the Big 12 because it's not over by any means. And I think that, you know, a good win at TCU, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, goes a long way to put us back in a good spot to be competitive in this league. So it's by no means over, but it maybe just shows you've got to beat these guys. Texas Tech is number four in KenPom. They've lost one game. They're going to be there at the end. And a couple of these other teams, like West Virginia, they're going to be there at the end. And we've got a big game against them coming up in a couple weeks. So we're not ready. Or at least that team that was on the floor against Texas Tech was not ready. Doesn't mean they can't be. Do you think yeah, we can get there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the box score is crazy from that Texas Tech game. Stevenson went 1 for 8 from the field. Keenan Evans went 4 for 16 from the field. And Owen 0 for 4 for 3. I mean, those two guys combined to go 5 for 24, and they beat us by 12 points. Two starters. It's not, I mean, it was just a weird game. But you know, Devontae played well. I think a lot of people, I had a hot take on that game that I kind of got beat up on, but I said something like Devontae's numbers are going to look really good in this game, but I didn't think he had that great of a game. And Self after the game said he actually did, and maybe I was the only one on this, but he was not very good on defense. The only nice thing that I saw from him is that he was trying to get to the basket in the second half, that they basically gave up on shooting threes in the second half, even though I think they shot 13 of them, missed all 13 or 12, wow. 12 or 13. Missed all 12 or 13, which just will not, that won't happen again, right? Like, it was a weird game all around. If we make one or two or three of those threes and the momentum shifts a little bit and the field house gets a rock in, like, I think that's a different game, right?
Sure, and I think that this is a byproduct of the free the three era where the three has been freed, but, you know, sometimes you're going to miss 13 threes. It's going to happen, yeah. Just statistically. It's going to happen if you're a good three-point shooting team like we are. And you're going to have halves like that. And you're going to have games like that. So, you know, we can, you know, make 10 of 15 and be killing and running everybody out of the gym. And we can also miss them all. So, you know, it's just one thing. And I think that's a game, you know, it's a second home loss. Yeah, you hate to see that. Bill Self's, I think, only done that once. But definitely by no means is anything over. We've got a lot of season left.
Is it the last time this season
that we lose a game
at home?
Oh, I mean, no, probably not.
Wow.
Probably not.
If I set the over under at 0.5, you take the over?
I probably would. I mean, I think the Big 12 is really good. Really good. I mean, there are some good teams. We still have to play West Virginia at home, play TCU at home, play Oklahoma at home. These are all top 15 teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think the shine is off this team, too, in terms of teams walking into Allen Fieldhouse and being afraid. Like, all of them are going, this is the one. Every single one of them, you know, is walking and going, this is the year we get them.
Well, this year they have to go through West Virginia and Texas Tech and TCU. So, like, sure. They're all going to beat up on each other. You just got to be the one at the end to survive. And this team has just as good of a chance as anybody else.
Well, here's the killer from that Tech game, and let's close it out. They out-rebounded us 44-29.
Yeah, that can't happen.
And the TCU game, even though we won, wasn't much better. I can't remember what it was, but it was not good. Yeah, let me pull it up. It was total rebounds 42-28. So about the same.
We were just making shots and playing fairly decent shots. Defense.
Instead of shooting 6 for 26 from 3-point range, we went 11 for 20. That makes a big difference.
And we got to the line a little bit better.
We got to the rim, exactly. We got to the rim, shot 33 free throws, which is by far the most all season long. That is, Andrew, a topic that we need to talk about. Clearly, in these last two games, there's been a push to get to the line. We've seen Devontae kind of, I don't know, change his game a little bit. I mean, he was looking to distribute, and he was looking to shoot threes, and he was shooting that little mid-range occasionally. All of a sudden, he's had two straight games, 13 free throws and 15 free throws. By the way, of those 28 free throws, he only missed two. 26 of 28.
We need that. I mean, we need those points like Frank Mason would get us. Frank Mason would get us at least 10 a game from his free throws every game last year. And it may not be 10, it may be 9, but it was a lot. I mean, those were points you could bank on just, I mean, not even out of skill. It's just out of hard work and driving to the rim, trying to get a bucket. And Frank's going to get fouled. And Devontae needs to do that too. I think Devontae is just as fast and just as able to get to the bucket. He just chooses to do different things. He doesn't try to go up with it. He tries to kick, which is valuable, but you lose those points. And sometimes the offense stalls after that. Sometimes you just need to go get a bucket or go get fouled like Frank did. And it's an unfair comparison to Frank, but it's obviously the one we're going to make. It's obviously we're going to make for a long time with point guards kind of that stature.
Yeah, but, you looked at Sharon. It was the same thing with Sharon. We compared everyone to Sharon for a few years. That's how that works.
But, I mean, that's got to be a part of his game going forward. And, you know, maybe it's less reliance on the driving kick for three than it is to driving kick to try to create something in the lane, whether that's for Udoka, whether that's for Mitch, or whether that's for somebody, you know, slashing in to try to create when Devontae also drives. But I think we'll see a little bit difference. And maybe that's a different emphasis, because I don't think that those free throws just came randomly. I think that there was a decision made either by Devontae or coached by Bill Self that got to that level. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. If that goes away, that could be a problem.
Is he the best at getting to the basket on the team?
I think Sfi's pretty good as well.
I was just going to say, I think he is, but I was going to say who's next best.
I think Sfi's pretty good. I think Vic's pretty good, but I don't put him second. I'm just saying who's pretty good. It's probably Sfi. Malik, I'm not ready to say Malik's good at anything at this point.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about him. I don't know what to do about Malik, man.
So here's my observation from coming back from my vacation, is that I think Devontae got better because he's doing different things and getting to the line. I think Sfi stayed about the same, at least consistently shooting threes. It's not like he completely fell off the map. I do think Malik completely fell off the map since I've been gone. In the last 3 weeks, Malik's fallen off the map. I think Vic is not far behind him.
Yeah, he's struggling right now. He only shot the ball 4 times in that TCU game. Played 26 minutes. He was a non-factor. No assists, 3 turnovers. Just like he wasn't even on the court. 3 rebounds.
And I continue, yeah, and just to move on to the rest of them, I think Mitch has gotten better. What do you think about that? What do you think about your boy Mitch? Before moving on, your boy Mitch better.
I don't know, man. He was playing against Vlad Brodzianski. Like,
Vlad Brodzianski is a preseason first teamer.
He's great, but he's also a skinny white dude. Like, he is extremely talented, but he is not a defensive
senior
juggernaut.
First team all preseason.
Listen, I think Vlad is excellent. He is really good at what he does. And I think that Mitch had a nice game, a really nice game. Best game of his career. Like, maybe one of the best games, like, of the season for one person on our team. Like, he actually played really well. But, like, let's like, slow down a little bit on the Mitch, right? Like, that game was perfect for him to have a good game.
I'm not going to slow down on Mitch.
All right. Like,
I think
I think
he's going to continue to prove himself.
Like, Iowa State and K-State, he might be able to do that, like, but those are the only other two teams. I'm afraid of him against Baylor. Like, if he's got to be out there.
Baylor's a different story. They still have Achiuwa, still have some big guys. It's little different.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, this was a perfect storm for Mitch. And, by the way, he took it and executed. Like, we needed it, right? But I'm not willing to, like, let's slow down a little bit on Mitch's, like, need more minutes or anything like
that. I'm not
that.
Saying he needs more minutes. I mean,
we can't win many games if Doak plays 13 minutes.
Well, exactly. And just to close out my review of the players, Doak, I think, has gotten better. Doak doesn't miss shots anymore. If you can get Doak the ball within 2 feet of the rim, he's going to score. I mean, he went, did he go 6 for 6 in that last game? 7 for 7 in that last game? And played 13 minutes, about a point a minute. If he can stay on the floor, we're going to win a lot of games. But you can't play 13. And I'm not saying he has to play 40 because he can't play 40. But if he plays 25, we're going to win a lot of games.
We need him to play 25 minutes. And frankly, we need somebody else on the bench who could come play too. Speaking of, I saw a report last night that Self was expecting news today.
Did not happen.
Did not happen. Shockingly, we still don't know anything about Billy Preston or Silvio De Sousa. We've been saying Sousa. I think it's Sousa.
I like Sousa. Sousa is like John Philip Sousa.
Yeah, but it's Sammy Sousa.
So is it Sousa like Sammy Sousa?
Yeah, put that in your head.
Okay.
So we haven't heard anything. Hopefully by the time you listen to this podcast, maybe we've heard something. He said that he feels very positive about De Sousa and up in the air about Billy. And that's basically the message that we've heard too.
Yeah, and I think I agree with that. I think that it's taking time with De Sousa. Did I do that right?
You did. You nailed it.
De Sousa, just because, you know, trying to get eligible guys. I mean, that's usually they have all summer to do that, and it works out, and it's not a big deal. You know,
no, there's no effing excuse. They need to do it right now.
They do need to do it, but I understand why it's taking time. It's not like there's a huge red flag in there.
Hope not.
The Billy thing, what is going on? At least just tell us he's ineligible. Just tell us he's ineligible.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him, too. I mean, it sucks. It's a bad deal, but hopefully good news is coming. We're not sure if it is. I think we'll get De Sousa back, right? Or I mean, De Sousa to the team. I don't know what he's going to bring, but I wonder this, is he going to come off the bench before Mitch?
For a while. Oh no, Mitch will be first.
Mitch will be first.
And then if he proves himself, I think he might compete for that next spot up.
All right.
Here's a question for you. What's the date that you need to get to say to De Sousa, let's wait till next year to keep your 4 years of eligibility?
He ain't going to be here 4 years.
Well, we don't know. Whatever. Like, so you're just willing to even take him for a game. Let's say he's cleared just for the Big 12 tournament and NCAA tournament. Like, would you say, let's go ahead and burn that year?
Well, if he's cleared there, I wonder if he'll even play. Like, that would be, I mean, a worst case scenario type of break glass type of deal. If that's all he's got, then yeah, maybe you don't. But
so I guess to go back to my question,
the
like
date
when is that date? It's like February 15th. Is it February 1st? Is it January 15th?
I would go sometime in the next like 3 weeks.
Okay, so it is January 8th. So by February 1st. If he's
February
not 3rd, cleared,
Oklahoma State at Kansas game, Saturday, February 3rd.
Okay, so if he's not cleared by then, maybe we take a hold your horses here.
But if he's cleared the 4th,
well,
I'm still gonna take him. Come on in, Silvio. So I don't know what the answer is. Maybe a little bit later than that, I guess. Because I'd love to see. I think we need another guy if we're gonna make a run. I think we need one more guy. I think we need somebody else who can come in and rebound the ball. If Doak goes down or if Doak is out with fouls, we are not going anywhere in the tournament. Unless we make 90% from three. Like, we need a big guy. Mitch is not going to carry the load. We're not going to play Vlad every game. So give me Silvio, give me Billy.
Man, you're just down on Vladimir.
No, listen, Vlad's a good, like, still, hey, let's not talk about Vlad as he's a bad player. He scored like 20 points on Mitch. So like, let's slow down on like, Mitch is a great player, but Mitch played great. Like, Mitch played excellent. He blocked shots. He was active. He rebounded the ball. He made a three. I mean, like, Mitch was great. But all I'm saying is it was a perfect storm for Mitch.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's move on to the TCU game. This is down in Fort Worth at their new fancy-dancy 6,000-capacity stadium. And I think this was a very positive game because whereas before, if you lost to TCU in Fort Worth, it was the sky is falling, Topeka YMCA, blah, blah, blah. But since Jamie Dixon's been there, they've put together a pretty good team and, you know, have a top 15 resume. If you lose to them down there, it's almost to be expected, right? So to get a win down there, I think is important to have this team play well. To play to their strengths and to play through their weaknesses, including rebounding, as you mentioned before, being out-rebounded 42-28 or whatever it is. But we made shots. We got to the line, had guys fill in like Mitch, get six blocks. So those spots came in and were very effective. So I think this is very – is it a momentum builder for you? I think it's a very important game for us.
It was. I don't want to say it was a must-have, but it was pretty damn close to a must-have, wasn't it? To start off 1-2 in the league, if they lose that game, you know, with a home loss, that would have been pretty brutal. I mean, this win against TCU coupled with a road game against Texas, that's a good win. They're going to beat some teams at home. We started off 2-1 in the league with three pretty tough games, only one at home. Like, I think if you just started the season, you said you're going to be 2-1 in those three games, I wouldn't have been like, completely distraught. Would you?
No.
It would have been like, okay, well, I could see that. That could happen.
Well, especially with this team, knowing what we've been through before, that there are weaknesses, that we're not like this, you know, superpower that we have been in the past. Still good, but still, you know, with struggles. I mean, we did lose to Washington and Kansas City. I mean, that's always there in the back of your head. The Arizona State, yeah, whatever. But we're not like this behemoth that we've been in the past. So I think to get that win is important. Moving forward, we've got games against Iowa State, which is tomorrow, could be today when you're listening to this, and then K-State this weekend, both of them at home. I think that puts us in a good position to, you know, start. I mean, if we win those games, you know, knock on wood, you think you would, you know, judging on, you know, kind of the landscape of the league. If you start the league 4-1, with a couple good road wins, I mean, you're putting yourself in a good spot. That sets up a pretty big date with West Virginia in Morgantown. The guys are going to be fired up for that. You know, probably going to be a highly ranked West Virginia team. I think the rankings came out today and they were number two. So it could be a number two or number one ranked team or a guard heavy ball oriented team. So we match up pretty well with a West Virginia team. You know, this could be setting up pretty well for us in terms of the league, but things have to go right.
Yeah. So I was actually interested in what you said, if they'd be ranked number two or number one, potentially. They play Baylor at home on Tuesday, and then this weekend they play at Texas Tech, which will be a ton of fun. Like, if they go and win that game at Tech, watch out. Like, West Virginia might be, well, probably would be the favorite at the time, you know, at that time, with wins against Oklahoma. Yeah. And they would still be undefeated in the league with, I mean, they'd only played Oklahoma State and K-State before this, but still, they would have beat Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas Tech with a home matchup against us. They win that game. They win both those games. Man, like, that's going to be tough to overcome, down two games. So we'll see, though. Lots of league games to be played. I am excited about this Iowa State game. I hope it's a get-right game. Iowa State is ranked 105th in KenPom. They're the only Big 12 team outside the top 55 in KenPom. Unfortunately for Iowa State, they are not very good. They are 0-3 in the league. What sucks for them, though, they've had two straight games, Andrew, in overtime losses.
Yeah, I saw that. Oklahoma State and Texas. A couple of those games, K-State, you know, lost to K-State at home, lost to Texas at home. You can't lose to K-State at home if you're going to be competitive. If you lose to K-State at home, you start to ask yourself the question, like, who are you going to beat?
Yeah. They lost by 16. Like, that's a great question at this point.
If you lose that game, who are you going to beat?
Well, if you look at KenPom, their best chance for a win is a 45% chance at Oklahoma State at home.
Yeah.
Every other league game, they're projected to lose. Well, they're projected to lose every game on KenPom. Now, ultimately, he's got their record at 3-15. So, like, on when you combine all the games, he still thinks that they're going to go 3-15. But he has a chance of winless record. They actually have that stat. 4%.
Ooh, so. 4%. Here's a question. If you're the AD at Iowa State, okay, and Steve Prohm is sitting there beginning of March, the conference is winding down, and let's say he's 4-14, 5-13. He's sitting around there, you know, he's had some success with Hoiberg's players. He's sitting there with a pretty unsuccessful season with his own guys. Hoiberg gets fired from the Bulls. Do you make that decision?
Oh, man.
Do you make a phone call? Well, here's go. Do you make a phone call to Fred Hoiberg?
Yeah. That's all. Just a phone call. I think you have to. If he's available and he wants to come back, you probably just make that happen. Like, right? I mean, I think you did. Now, the one thing you ask Fred is, are you going to just use this and go to back to the NBA if it comes calling again? You know what I mean? But I'm not sure any NBA team is going to be jumping for him. So
now, my opinion on this is that I think it'd be pretty unfair to fire either of those guys in this situation. Like, from what the Bulls did this season, like of course you're going to fire someone for no success. And they traded Jimmy Butler. They did all this stuff. They're trying to tank.
Right.
You know, so it'd be unfair to fire Hoiberg. I think it'd be unfair to fire Prohm as well. But I think it's pretty, you know, the chances are pretty good that this may happen.
That would be, honestly, I'd love it. I'd love to see Hoiberg back in the league. But if they do and he takes the job, he could literally stay there for like the next 20 years and get a statue built. Like, if he wanted to.
He could probably already get a statue built. But, and you know what? Let's say they ask him, are you just going to use this for another NBA job? Let's say he says yes. I think they'd still take him. I still think they let him come back.
Yeah, they might. I don't think there would be one Iowa State fan that would be upset by that.
Like, oh, he's just like, trying to get the Knicks job in 2 years. Like, well, maybe, but come back anyway.
I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on Prohm. I think he's a good coach, but
I do too. I do too, and that's why I thought it would be unfair if they let him go at the end of the season. But you know, obviously, the season's not going the way they wanted to. They do have some pretty young talent. Wigginton, obviously, move into our Iowa State preview. Wigginton's a pretty good player, freshman. You know, rarely do they have a freshman who's good. Usually it's a transfer that comes in and blows the door off of the team. But it's a freshman this year. A couple other guys. Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, he's good.
Nick Weiler Babb. You remember?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Remember Babb? Babb had a brother who's most famous in my eyes for being the guy who was doing the annoying, like, stirring the soup. stirring the soup guy after he'd make a three. This is back several years ago. And then you remember Anrio Adams?
Oh,
he was like making fun of him doing that. And we have the classic Twitter image of Anrio Adams stirring the soup, making the food.
Okay, that was his brother.
That was
the impetus for that. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was Nick Babb's brother, Nick Weiler Babb's brother.
How about that? So Lindell Wigginton and Donovan Jackson really drive this team. A couple 6'2 guards, one a freshman, one a senior. Obviously, Donovan Jackson hasn't been there 4 years. He came in as a transfer, and he's been a stud this year, man. So both of those guys, I think, are the keys to slowing this team. I'm not too worried about this game. I think they, I think KenPom has them at a 6% chance to win. I think that's generous. I think KU is going to win this game handily. I think it might be a nice coming home game. You want to go? You should go watch this game. Are you going?
I'm going to this game with my wife. Good. Iowa State grad.
Oh God.
Which I need a good win because they beat us last year down Fieldhouse. I need something.
Yeah. Well, how about them going 0-18 in the Big 12?
No, that would make for a very sad household. I'll root for 5 or 6 wins. It's a respectable rebuilding year for them.
Whatever, man. I'm cheering for them to beat everybody. I hope they.
That's true. At this point, it's we want them to beat everybody. They're no threat.
Right. That's right. Go get them. Hilton Magic. Let's have some. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good game for Kansas. I think they're going to get right. Andrew, I think we might score 100 points tomorrow.
Oh, I love scoring 100 points. Reaching the century mark, that's my favorite. We can root for that.
I'm taking the over on whatever it is. I think Kansas is going to get right. Then we've got K-State at home, which is always a fun one. I think KenPom's got us at about a 10-point projected win. K-State, you know, Andrew, maybe if they could find a way to get a win, again, a couple wins against, like an Oklahoma or maybe a Texas Tech or win a couple that they're not supposed to win. Right now they are... what's their record? 11-4 with 3 good losses and 1 bad loss. They lost to Arizona State, West Virginia, and Texas Tech. So 3 teams inside the top 18 KenPom. And then,
and also Tulsa. Tulsa's the bad.
That Tulsa one is not good. Yeah, that's not good. Tulsa's 121st in KenPom, although probably still better than our Washington loss. So, like, who's throwing stones here?
Right. No, I totally agree. One thing about this team, though, is they do not have Kamau Stokes, who is out indefinitely with an injury. One of their better players. So, going to be a lot of Dean Wade in this game. A lot of Barry Brown, a lot of Dean Wade.
Well, Barry Brown. Yeah, I think, I like Barry Brown. Actually, I like Stokes, too. It's too bad that he's out. And Dean has been on fire. Have you been watching Dean? Dean's been crushing it.
I think he's their best player. I'm not saying Dean's going to go to the NBA, but I think Dean's a player. Dean's the real deal.
So we'll see. I feel pretty good about that game too. And Andrew, that would mean that we go 2-0 this week if we win both those games. Right back to 4-1 going into that West Virginia game. I think it'd be interesting to say, Andrew, if we take down these two games, go to 4-1, march into West Virginia and win that game, we are back as the favorite for this league, right?
I don't know if it's favorite. I mean, I think, like you said before, a lot of shine has come off this team. There's a lot of good teams. But if we get that West Virginia win, that puts us in a good spot. I mean, that puts us right back in the thick of things. Let's hope Texas Tech gets a loss in there. You know, if we're tied atop the leaderboard come 2 or 3 weeks from now, maybe we get one or two of these guys, from eligibility purposes. It's a whole new ball game. And I would just say, don't count Kansas out yet for the Big 12 title. We've come back from crazier situations before, and it's we can do it again. It's still early.
Am I crazy not to fear Texas Tech? Is it just the name? Am I the only one that's kind of thinking that?
It's the name.
Just not.
It's the name, because that's a good team.
I know it's a good team. I'm not saying it's not a good team. What I'm saying is, are they gonna be a 2-seed good team? Like, that's probably what they are right now. They're 2-seed. Like, are they that good? Are they a run through the league 14-4 team?
They're not a 14-4 team.
That's what KenPom's got them right now. They got them winning the league at 14-4.
Wow. I don't think they're a 14-4 team.
How about that? I'm struggling with it a little bit. I mean, so is Zoe, it sounds like. Your dog is struggling with
it. Hold on. Let me get my dog. Just leave it running. Just leave it running.
All right. Hey. We're going to leave it running. Hey. So while Andrew goes and gets his dog, I just want to say we've got a Texas Tech team that's about to play Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Are you back?
I'm back. I've been talking this whole time.
Okay, good.
You can keep it going or not.
My wife is not here, so I'm babysitting the dog who needed to tell me something.
Was probably telling you about this Texas Tech schedule. Andrew, they're about to play Oklahoma and West Virginia back-to-back.
She's a bandwagon fan, and so she's rooting for Bama. Bama's not doing well at the moment, so I think that's why she's mad.
What's the score in that game?
6-0, Georgia.
Good. I got money line Georgia. Come on, dogs.
Oh, what'd you get it at? What's the line?
I don't remember. 4.5, but I bet the money line. I can't remember.
Okay.
So what I was saying, though, Andrew, Texas Tech plays Oklahoma and West Virginia. Oklahoma away, West Virginia at home. What's their record in those two games?
What's their record?
Yeah.
They
win both the games? Kid Mom says they win both games.
No way. There's no way they win both games. There's no way they win both games.
I think they lose at Oklahoma, and I think they struggle against West Virginia, but I think they win it.
That would make sense.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope so. Like, I hope that's what happens because, like, we don't need Oklahoma getting road wins either. Or West Virginia getting road wins either, because that would not be good. I think, Andrew, we root for mayhem. Like, that's what we root for in the Big 12, right?
Yes.
Like,
root for just a crazy Tuesday night where I think this year, K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, as many wins as they can get, not against us, the better.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this slate for tomorrow night. Iowa State, Kansas, obviously. But Baylor, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, ESPN2, ESPNU. Those are going to be fun games. And then Wednesday is terrible. But then Saturday, we've got TCU, Oklahoma, and West Virginia, Texas Tech. 16 versus 9, 2 versus 8. We got those four teams playing each other. We want mayhem. We want everybody to split 50-50, right?
I love it. I love it, except for us. You know, there's still time, Kevin. I think that there's a lot for this team to do. I think that Bill's got to put some more of this offense in, maybe put some of this defense in that we've heard about. He said he's done a little bit of it, and I think this team can get better. And, you know, really, if we make a concentrated effort to keep Doak on the floor somehow, whatever that is, we're going to be a lot better. And I think that we know our strengths, we know our weaknesses, and we gotta move from there. And most importantly, we need to get Billy Press and DeSosa playing.
Nailed it. Yeah, so the latest on that is that Self says he is, quote, pushing buttons, but still awaiting word.
This is up to the date, up to the minute.
Yeah, this is our man Matt Tate from this afternoon, breaking.
Pushing buttons. Why haven't we been pushing the Billy Preston button before? Like, just if there's a Billy, just push it.
Clear.
That was easy.
That's what we need. We need both those guys, Andrew. If we get both those guys, I think we immediately become the favorite, right? If we get one of them, I think we're going to be just fine.
And I don't know. I still want to see DeSosa play. I don't know if he's going to be any good this year or not. But we've seen Billy Preston play a little bit in Italy and you know, the first couple games. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's very important for us to get some bench depth at the big guy level. It's crucial. It's absolutely necessary because we're gonna get into situations where we're not going to be able to handle it.
We can't rebound the ball. Like, that's it. Like, even Doak's not a great rebounder. Like, he's big, but he's not a great rebounder. He's not like Landon Lucas is a 10 times better rebounder than Doak is. But hopefully he gets better. I mean, maybe if he feels like he's not going to foul out every game, he can do that. But we got to get better at rebounding the ball. I know DeSosa is great at it. Billy is okay. So anything would be better than what we have. I want to talk about Sam I Am.
Oh, that's one guy we haven't talked about.
I want to talk about Sam. So Sam has looked pretty good. Not a great defender, but he's athletic. He's very quick. He's long. You'd think he should potentially be a good athlete on defense. Apparently, your dog agrees. Update, Andrew has put the headphones on his microphone and walked away. So now he's back. And is your dog okay?
Like I said, Bama's getting whooped. Oh, she's back. Do you want to be on the podcast? Is that what you're doing?
Very much on the podcast.
Do you want to be on this?
There's a 10% chance that Andrew just doesn't cut any of this. And if he doesn't cut any of this, I apologize for this podcast. Anyway, Andrew has now walked away again. This is what you get. And this is why we don't have sponsors. Because we have podcasts just like this from time to time where it's not professional. We're a couple of douchebags with $100 microphones doing a podcast in our offices. But what can you do? Okay, Andrew's now back.
I'm back.
He's got a smile.
We better wrap this up.
You think?
Yeah.
I think your dog is telling you gotta wrap this up.
Yep.
Andrew.
Sam, I am. Okay, so Sam Cunliffe, from what I heard, didn't play a minute for Texas. Is that true?
I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
It looked like he played okay against TCU, played a little bit against Texas Tech, and he looked okay. I don't think he's the savior.
No, but I think he deserves more Malik's minutes. Don't you?
I don't think Malik's very good.
I'm not sure what Malik's bringing you right now. It is almost like, and I don't know that he's a bad player. It's like he doesn't understand what to do with this team. Like he doesn't know what his role is. And he totally disappears for like stretches of 15 minutes. And then he comes in and you see him with the ball. Like, oh yeah, there's Malik, but he's been in the game for like 15 minutes. And then he drives and does something stupid or he launches a bad three and he misses it. And like, that was it. I'm not sure what he's adding to the team right now. And it's frustrating. Like we thought he might lead the team in freaking scoring.
Like we thought he'd have 15
decent chance.
Right.
But
we thought it would be Devontae being the primary ball handler, distribute to Malik all the time. Malik would shoot threes. He would drive and score, get to the free throw line. None of that's happened.
I thought Malik could drive. Maybe he's hurt. I mean, there's a mention a little bit that he might be hurt. Like think about Wayne Selden that his junior year where he played like 35 minutes a game, but
it was
never
his sophomore year.
Cause he was just, I think he was hurt the whole season and he just kind of disappeared for long stretches. The sophomore year.
Right. Right.
Sophomore season. It's like, maybe it's that, like maybe that's as easy as the explanation is, but
he reminds me a lot of Wayne Selden's struggles. It's a lot of the same, I think. Just the first thing that pops into my head when I'm watching Malik, when I'm kind of thinking about Malik. A lot of it's my head goes to Wayne Selden too.
Well, I hope that he figures it out, but if he doesn't, I think Self's got to be ready to. I mean, obviously he's made a switch on the starting lineup. Marcus Garrett's playing, but frankly, Marcus ain't giving you much on the offensive end either, like at all. He's not a.
At least we know that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's a great defender. Like he might be our best defender on the team. Probably is our best defender on the team. Great basketball IQ. He probably deserves the minutes that he's getting. But like, what does that say about Malik? Like a freshman that can't score is starting over you.
Right.
A five-star recruit.
Right.
Yee. Like that's it.
Anyway. Yeah. So we've got Iowa State tomorrow, K-State. On a Saturday, pretty big week. We need both of these wins. Let's try to win. Let's try to get 100 points in each one. How about that?
I like that.
K-State's pretty good defensive team. I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen either. But that's okay. Two wins. I don't care how we get them. And heading to that West Virginia game on a roll with some confidence after the Christmas break practices have completed and we've installed all the defenses and ready for West Virginia. Devontae Graham's never won there, right? Senior?
Did we not win there last year?
I don't think so. I think we've lost three in a row. Am I making that up?
I don't remember.
I think we lost. While you look that up, are you looking that up?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
I think we've lost three in a row there. It's time for Devontae Graham to come out of there with a win. Andrew, guess where I might be watching that game?
I don't know.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, you're going to Vegas? We haven't even talked about that.
I don't know yet. It's a work thing. I'm working on it. But I think I'm going to be in Vegas. So I tweeted something about how if we go 2-0 this week, which sets up a fun game against West Virginia on Monday. And I had about 40 people reply and say, it's never fun playing in Morgantown. Your definition of fun is very different from my definition of fun. And frankly, really, the only reason I thought it was going to be fun is because I'm going to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
So,
just to clarify, we did lose in Morgantown last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've lost 3 in a row. Maybe more, but at least 3. So this is the time we bust out of that, Andrew. We win that game. Oh, man, we are back in the driver's seat. I'm not afraid of Texas Tech. I'm putting it out there right now. I'm going to be wrong. I'll put my stake in the ground. I think they might be close to the end. Maybe a share. Maybe 13-5. If they go 13-5, like, I'll be kind of impressed and surprised. Do you think they're going to be better than that?
Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Power rank. I think they'll be a 13-5, 12-6. Before we leave, I think a lot of people will be a 12-6, 11-7.
Before we leave, power rank the Big 12. In terms of, not just right now, in terms of where you think they're going to finish.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I'm going to put KU number one.
Oh, there you go.
Because I believe in this team.
You heard it here first.
I'm going to put West Virginia number two, Texas Tech number three.
Whoa, where's Oklahoma at?
Oklahoma number four.
Wow.
TCU number five, Baylor that. Number six, Texas number seven.
I think I've got Oklahoma ahead of Texas Tech. Otherwise, okay. I'm pretty close with you.
Okay. I think Texas Tech's better, but
we'll might be. We're going to find out. All right, let's get out of here, Andrew. You can find us on the Twitter bug, at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops. Please leave us that 5-star rating on iTunes. Maybe not. Maybe think about our other podcast, not this one, when you're leaving your rating. Andrew has now left the mic again to go get the dog.
No. She just wanted to say goodbye. There you go.
Is that it?
All right. We got to go.
All right. We'll catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Thanks so much for listening and rock job.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, it's baby. For my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them team here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now.
If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. Now I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support, and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together, and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.